Amen. What a blessing. Thankful for that amazing grace. If you have your Bible, let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. We're going to be looking at verse 13 through 21. The story of the feeding of the 5,000. The title that I've chosen this morning is Empowered to Meet Needs. You know, as disciples of Jesus, we've been empowered to meet needs in the lives of a needy world. You know, the feeding of the 5,000 is one of the only miracles performed by Jesus that's recorded in all four Gospels. It is one of His greatest miracles that I believe that the Lord intended to receive special attention. There's no story in the Gospels other than the resurrection that confronts us with the reality of His deity more directly than this miracle. Only God could do what took place on that hillside that day. It was a supernatural event. You know, I want to back up a little bit and just kind of give you the context before we read this passage and remind you, as we learned last week, that Jesus had called His 12 disciples together and He gave them power and authority. Now, I'm reading that from Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, if you want to write that down. But He sent them out to preach. So I want you to get that in mind. He called them together. He gave them power. You know, that's what we're talking about, our theme, empowered by Jesus. He empowered them. Sent them out to preach. These disciples, they obeyed the Lord. They went out and they preached the gospel. They were successful in making the power and the fame of Jesus known. And last week we talked about how that the fame of Jesus, it came to the palace of Herod Antipas. He heard about Jesus. And he concluded that He was John the Baptist risen from the dead. And this is my theme this morning. I want you to get this theme this morning before you read this passage. I want you to think about this theme. When Jesus authorizes and empowers us, we can anticipate God's blessings in what we do. We simply believe and obey. I'm going to state that again. When Jesus authorizes and empowers us, we can anticipate God's blessings in what we do. We must simply believe and obey. So let's pick up reading verse 13, Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard of it, now I want to just stop there. He heard about what Herod said. The report of Herod, he'd heard about Jesus' fame and concluded He was John the Baptist, risen from the dead, said He departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people have heard thereof, they followed Him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth, and He saw a great multitude, and He was moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick. And when it was evening, His disciples came to Him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto Him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And when they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your divine word. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to open our understanding to your word. And Lord, I pray that you would not only give us ears to hear, but Lord, that you'd give us a heart to obey. Lord, I believe that the whole miracle that was performed on that hillside over 2,000 years ago it hinged upon the obedience and the faith of Jesus' disciples. Lord, we know that you've empowered us to go forth and make disciples. But Lord, unless we obey and go, we're not going to see your power and your blessings manifest in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would use this story to empower us to have faith and to obey our Lord and what he's commanded us to do. And Father, we also pray you'd use this passage to speak to the hearts of those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they might realize that only he can satisfy their need of salvation. Only he is the bread of life. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So disciples, we're empowered to meet needs today. You know, as I was comparing the different gospels on this story, I was reading that Mark, he tells us that after the 12 apostles got back from preaching to report on what the Lord had done with them or on what they had accomplished and what they had preached and taught, Jesus decided that it was time to get away with his disciples. He decided it was time for some R&R, some much needed downtime. And there in Mark 6:31, Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." You know, they were involved in ministry, and they were so busy in ministry that they did not even have time to, didn't even have the leisure to stop and eat. So Jesus decided, let's go to a desert place. We're talking about a place that is isolated, a place away from the crowds, and let's go rest for a little while. And you know, our text in Matthew, it seems to indicate that Jesus was leaving because of the report that Herod had heard about Jesus. And you know, Jesus wasn't afraid of Herod. I mean, he is the Son of God. But he was walking according to his father's timetable. You know, he knew that this Herod's father tried to kill him when he was a baby. And no doubt, this Herod in Matthew 14, no doubt, he could have felt threatened by Jesus, just as he was threatened by John the Baptist. And just as he beheaded John the Baptist, no doubt he could have tried to arrest and kill Jesus. But we find that, so for these reasons, Jesus went apart with his disciples. And I was reading that Vance Havner, he said that if we don't come apart, we will come apart. You know, there's a time and place for us to rest. There's a time and place for us to take a little sabbatical from ministry and get some rest. If we don't, we're going to burn out. It's very important. We see even Jesus practiced this. But here's the problem. They got in a ship. They went to this city, which Luke tells us in chapter 9, verse 10, Bethsaida. They got to Bethsaida, and from what I can read in John chapter 6, verses 3 and 5, that when they got there to this little village, they went up into a mountain on the hillside there. And as soon as they set, here all this multitude comes. I mean, just stop and think about this. They were trying to get away, rest a little bit. They were dealing with fatigue. And they needed some time away. And they're just as soon as they sat down, here's all this multitude coming up to them. Now, I don't know about you, but I would be frustrated at that point. I mean, here we are, we're going away, we're going to take a little sabbatical, we're going to try to get some R&R, and here comes all these people, and we're talking about needy people. People that have needs. And they have been just so busy in ministry with ministering to people's needs that they had no leisure to eat, and here they are, they get away, and here's all the people coming. You know, I'm sure these disciples were just frustrated, because later we're going to see, later in the day, they're telling Jesus, won't you just send them away? Just send them away into the villages around. You know, I've learned that even while taking a rest from ministry, to be prepared for ministry. You know, if you have an urgent need, I just want to say this to the church. If you have an urgent need, don't hesitate to contact me on my day off. If it's urgent, I'm going to give you that time and to listen to your need. But if it's not urgent, if it can wait a day, just consider your pastor needs rest. So I'm saying, you know, don't bother the pastor unless you have to on his day off. You know, a follower of Christ, we really, not just pastors, but let me just say this to all of us who are disciples of Jesus, we're really never off duty. You're not off duty. I mean, wherever you go, you're on duty. You're to represent Christ to the world. You're to minister to the needs of people. Now, John 6:6, I believe over there in John's, he reveals that one of the purposes of this incident here in our text, this feeding of the 5,000, was to prove the disciples. That word prove means to test their faith. You know, there was a growing hostility about Jesus, and it was going to lead up to the crucifixions, which was going to come later. Jesus knew about this, and so what Jesus is trying to do now, from this point, we're going to find in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus is going to spend more and more time privately with his disciples. Everything Jesus is doing from this point forward is to train and teach his disciples, to prepare them for ministry. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, let's remember that the Lord sometimes is going to allow impossible, difficult situations to happen in our lives because He wants to train us for ministry. He wants to prepare us to meet needs in other people's lives. If we don't ever have a need in our life that we come to get that need met through Christ, how are we going to help others with needs? Now, these disciples, as they were observing Jesus on this day, I believe that their faith began to grow. I believe their faith grew that day. How did it grow? I want to give you three things today, how their faith grew. Number one, they witnessed Jesus' compassion. They witnessed Jesus' compassion. As these people swarmed up that hillside, as Jesus sat down with his disciples, instead of getting frustrated, instead of Jesus saying to them, listen, folks, this is my day off. Come back tomorrow. And instead, look what we find here in verse 14. And Jesus went forth, and he saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them. You know, this word compassion speaks of a very deep inward feeling. His heart was moved by this multitude. Now, while these disciples are back there going, "Oh, I can't believe it. All these people are coming. We can't seem to get away anywhere." But Jesus is moved with compassion. He's moved with compassion. The Bible says he healed their sick. Now, when you come to verse 15, it said when it was evening. Now, we need to understand that I believe that all day Jesus was showing his compassion. Before this miracle ever takes place, I want you to understand that the disciples are sitting back watching their master. And when you look over in the other Gospels, like for example, let's look in Mark chapter 6. Just turn to the next Gospel, Mark 6. And I want you to look at, look with me in verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Then verse 35 says, and when the day was now far spent. And so I want you to understand that when they came, Jesus had compassion. And Mark gives us the thought that because they were like sheep without a shepherd. You know, in the Bible, a shepherd is a spiritual leader. It's used of a spiritual leader, a pastor. There was an Old Testament idea of spiritual leadership, of feeding the people with the good doctrine of the Word of God. And what Jesus saw, all these people coming out, they were coming out, they did not have that shepherd. I mean, the leaders of Israel were not giving them the good Word of God. These were sheep that had no truth. They had no one to go to feed them the truth. Jesus looked out there. He saw their spiritual need. And Mark tells us that he taught them. So Jesus, I believe, addressed their spiritual need first. He saw them coming up and he addressed their spiritual needs. He began to teach them the good Word of God. And you know, as we focus on this compassion of Jesus, you know, we need to see that it reveals his heart toward sinners. Here are the disciples, no doubt, they're fatigued, they're frustrated, but they're watching Jesus. They're learning something from Jesus. Jesus is teaching them, listen, even when you're apart resting, be ready. Be ready to meet people's needs. Be ready to minister. You know, if you consider also their physical needs as the day went on, these people have been out on the mountainside all day and in a desert place, and they didn't have any food. And this was a physical need that had come about. And if you really stop and consider the logistics of this situation, it was a serious situation because Bethsaida, if you look on the map and you study about where they were, there was just a few small villages in that area. And they were all maybe a couple thousand people in those villages. And the Bible tells us here that in verse 21, there were about 5,000 men beside women and children. So we could say, reasonably estimate, that there were 15 to 20,000 mouths to feed. Now, let's just stop and process that for a minute. Look at Dumas, Texas. You have the entire city of Dumas to feed. You're in a desert place. All you have is 5 loaves. Now listen, these loaves are not like loaves of bread we buy at the grocery store. These were referring to little barley cakes. They were more like a biscuit. Just a thin, small cake 5 of these small barley loaves and a few, 2 small fishes, he says. And I want you to understand it'd be more like what we'd think of sardines. This was just a little boy's lunch. I mean, from John's gospel, we learned that this was a little lad's lunch. This was a little guy. That's what a little guy would eat for lunch. That's all they had. And you look around and there are just a few villages that's nearby. And you know, as small as those villages were, it would be impossible to feed that many people. You know, we as America, we can't process this. We have Walmart, we have United, we have Lowe's grocery store, we have all these places to go where there's an abundance. We can just go there and get all that we need. We could feed lots of people, but you got to realize the situation here. And you know, when we were in Ghana, for example, there were times, a lot of times that we would go to the market and we wouldn't come back with what we were looking for. It just wasn't there. I mean, we really had to plan ahead because there are times that we would go for a loaf of bread and there would be no loaf of bread. There are times that my wife would send me for something and I would go several places and I'd finally call her and say, I can't find it. It's not anywhere to be found. You got a second choice, another idea. But this is what these people are facing out here in a desert place. It would have been impossible for them to find enough bread to feed this great multitude right before dark. So as we think about this, this must have really challenged the disciples' faith and their fortitude. And you know, as we read here in the scripture, this is what they say in verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came, saying, this is a desert place. The time is now past. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. Now I want you to understand, this is after they were watching the compassion of Jesus. They were watching him. But when it came down to this great, huge need, they said, just send them away, Jesus. And it may not really have been callousness on their part. It could have been some callousness. There could have been some seething frustration and anger because, you know, they went there that morning to rest and relax and hear Jesus all day. They've been ministering to people. They must have had some sense of callousness because of their fatigue, because of their frustration, and now because of failed resources. They didn't have the resources to meet this great, huge need. And so they're a little bit callous about the needs of these people, but I believe also it kind of indicated or it seemed to them to be a reasonable thing to do. I mean, after all, they didn't have of themselves the resources to meet these needs. In their minds, they're thinking, Lord, we got to send them away. It's getting dark. I mean, we got to let them go to the villages. Let them go and eat. We don't have the resources to feed them. But look at the answer of Jesus in verse 16. They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Now, I want you to just imagine yourself being these disciples. You're probably thinking, you're not going to say it out, but you're thinking, the Lord's out of his mind. I mean, what's he thinking? What does he mean? Give ye them to eat. They don't need to depart. You need to feed them. They're sitting here thinking, man, that's crazy. And the reason why is because they were looking at their own resources and not at his resources. You know, we're so often just like these disciples, are we not? But I learned from this story right here, from this at this point, I learned that Jesus wants us to have compassion to those in need. He wants us to have compassion to those in need. Now, the second thing I want you to see, how did they grow in their faith? They witnessed His compassion. But number two, they witnessed His power. They witnessed His power. You know, this miracle is an unanswerable proof of our Lord's power. You know, here they are in the middle of nowhere, desert place, no food markets around. They didn't have United, and they didn't have Walmart. They didn't have a Burger King or McDonald's that they could go grab something. They didn't have those things. Like I said, a lot of us Americans, we have a hard time processing. We read this and we don't think about what it was really like to satisfy the hunger of 10, 15, 20,000 people with a small portion of food. You know, it'd be impossible without some kind of supernatural intervention. So I want you to notice that here, after Jesus says this, they say unto Him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's their response. You know, and Jesus told them, go give them something to eat. You know, you would think these disciples, they had already witnessed many miracles done by Jesus. They witnessed Him raise up a girl from the dead. They witnessed Him raise up the sick, and they've witnessed Him give sight to the blind. They watched Him do some pretty amazing things. I mean, really, truly amazing. A man that was lame from his birth, see him raised up and walk. You would think that they would have turned to Jesus and said, "Jesus, what are you going to do? Because we can't. But we know You can." But you know what? They didn't say that. It says, they say, "We have here but..." It's like they're saying, "Lord, we only have just these 5 small loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they among so many? How are we going to feed these people with all these mouths with just this little bit of food?" You know, you think about this miracle that Jesus is about to perform. I'm telling you, it reveals His great, mighty, divine power. There would not be any false prophet that would ever try to attempt such a thing. An imposter would not try something like this. You know, a false prophet might try to claim to heal one single individual. They might be able to set that up and deceive the masses of people. Say, "See, I healed this guy." But there's no way that they could be out in a place like this with 10,000, 15, 20, however many there were, and convince all those people that, hey, that were hungry, "You're satisfied now, you're full. I fed you." There's no way He could convince them of that. They were all witnesses. That's why I think the Lord wanted us to see in all 4 of His Gospels, this is a significant event, because we have 15, 20,000 people that witnessed this miracle. I mean, there's nobody that could go and say, "Jesus never did that." There's too many witnesses here to deny this. You know, as Jesus told them to feed this great multitude, they felt totally inadequate for this task. Little did they realize that right in front of them was the One who was totally adequate. Totally adequate. It's almost like, I read one preacher said, it's like they were standing before Niagara Falls and wondering where they were going to get a drink of water. Here they are standing in the presence of the Almighty Son of God. And they're wondering, how are we going to fulfill this command of Jesus to feed all this great multitude? I I want to give you this truth. What we need to realize is that with every command the Lord gives us, He also gives us the ability to fulfill it. Every command the Lord gives us, He gives us the ability to fulfill it. It may seem like an impossible thing to do, but you know what? We go back to our theme statement at the beginning. We must simply believe and obey. Believe and obey. You know, obedience is empowering. You know, we're talking about being empowered by Jesus, and you're just standing here thinking, all right, Jesus, fill me with power. I'm waiting. Some people are thinking, well, I got to speak in tongues, or I got to do something, or I got to get this feeling. Lord, I'm waiting. Obey. Go. Believe Him. Go. He said, go teach all nations. You're like, all nations? We got 7 billion plus people. We're just a small congregation. We don't have the resources to reach 7 billion plus people. That's the same situation the disciples were in. They were faced with an impossible task of themselves. But all the Lord asked them to do is a simple thing, to obey. Just obey. Just give these people something to eat. You know, after they said that, look what Jesus said in verse 18. He said, bring them hither to me. He's talking about these 5 loaves, 2 fishes. They said, Lord, that's all we got. We just got this little lunch. He said, bring them to me. Another step of obedience, another step of faith. Just bring them to me. And here's a powerful truth right here that we need to grab hold of. The key, do only what you can do. Do only what you can do and trust Jesus to do what only He can do. Just do what you can do. What do you got in your hand? What do you have? You say, well, I don't got much. But do what you can do. You know, take what you have and give to Jesus. Put it in His hand. You know what I'm saying? It's a matter of surrender to Him. Just give it to Him. Let Him do it. You know, that's where we mess up in our Christian life. That's where we don't ever get empowered by Jesus, though He has said, all power is given to me. Go ye therefore. He has empowered us. He gave us power. He gave us authority, but you know what? We don't experience it because we don't ever take that step of faith, that obedience. Bring what you have. Give it to Jesus. Your talents. Your gifts. Your all. Just give it to Him. And trust Him to do what only He can do. You know, we have to recognize our insufficiency in and of ourselves and just bring what we have to the Lord. As the song goes, little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. You know, I thought about that when we organized this church Thursday. You know, just 16 charter members. But, you know, little is much when God is in it. God is doing something great in that church. How God worked it all together is amazing, really. I mean, it's something, you know, I was telling them that, you know, I've been a part, as I was thinking back through my ministry, I've been a part of 5 church plants in my ministry. Whether it was by being the one that's starting the church or being the pastor of a church plant or someone starting a church plant out of the church. And as I look back over my life, I looked at all these. The first one failed. Because, and by the way, that was in 1992. I was ordained in this church, and I was just thinking, it was June 12, 1992. This June would be 25 years. 25 years ago, I went to Washington State. We went with another preacher. We went up there. And here's our plan. We're going to start a church. We're going to go there. We're going to knock doors. We're going to preach. And we're going to start a church. We were attempting something impossible ourselves. And you know what? It didn't happen. Yeah, we saw some people saved and baptized. But, you know, a church has never left there. But, you know, later, when I looked at some of the other church plants I had a part of, I realized that they were churches that I didn't even attempt to plant. I wasn't even intentionally trying. It just happened. It just happened. You know, when I was a pastor in Dalhart, we had some people coming from Clayton, and Brother Guppy knows them. They were coming over to our church. They were actually members of Liberty Baptist Church, and as they were driving every Wednesday night, and finally one brother named Brother Roger Manning, he came to me. He kept coming. Pastor, we need to start a church in Clayton. I didn't want to. I didn't want to give up members in my church. We were already a small church. I didn't want to give them up. But he kept saying, and finally the Lord just kept putting it on my heart and putting it before me, and I said, okay. We went up there. First time we went up there, we found a place to meet that very day, and the next Sunday they started meeting there, and I mean, it just bam, 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 bam. It just happened. I didn't try to do it. When I was in Ghana, I was working with another missionary, and we had some circumstances that just happened where God moved us over to Cape Coast, and you know what? There are already about 10 to 15 people there, disciples, wanting to start an independent Baptist church. I didn't go there and just try to make it happen. God just like to put it in my lap. I mean, it happened. All I did was make myself available. Listen, this is what these people here were doing. You know, God sometimes will put problems in our lives. He will put difficult situations far beyond our abilities and our resources. You know why? He wants to teach us how to trust Him. He wants to be glorified in our lives. He wants to do something so big that we can look back and say, wow, look what God did. You know, when they brought this food to Jesus, He commanded the multitude to sit down. He took the 5 loaves, 2 fishes, looking up to heaven. He blessed and broke. He gave the loaves to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude. You know, something I want to point out, I was noticing in Mark's gospel, the word gave, where Jesus gave. After they gave to Him, He blessed it, and then it says He gave to them. It's in imperfect tense, meaning continuously. It means Jesus was continuously given to them. He was given to them. And so I believe personally that the miracle took place in the hand of Jesus. He had 5 loaves, 2 fishes. He prayed. He blessed it. And His disciples came and He would break and give to them. They would go and distribute. They would come back. He would break and give to them. He just kept giving to them and kept giving to them and kept giving to them and kept giving to them until everybody was full and satisfied. You know, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? You know, we need to realize that Jesus meets needs through us. He told the disciples, give ye them to eat. You know, Jesus could have just, if He wanted to demonstrate His power, He could have said, all right, Lord, rain down manna from heaven and let everybody gather up some bread. He could have done that, but no, that wasn't His purpose. His purpose here is to teach the disciples, to help them see they're empowered to meet needs. He told them, you give them something to eat. You bring what you have to me. And Jesus blessed it, and then He gave back to them. Said, now go give it to the people. And I like this verse because it says that gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. See, Jesus wants to meet needs through us. He used the disciples to meet the needs of this multitude. You know, how can we apply this miracle to us in our situation today? Well, we've got a lot of people in our city a lot of people around us and the world around us that are needy people. Spiritually, physically, they're needy people. The needs far outweigh our resources. I mean, truly, the needs far outweigh our resources. The needs far outweigh our abilities. How are we going to meet these needs? You know, we can say like the disciples, Lord, this is all we got. What is it among so many? But we need to remember, we're standing in the presence of the one who is ready to meet and satisfy the need of every soul. He's ready. But he needs you, and he needs I, to respond in faith and surrender what we have in our hands, so that he can use what we have to meet the needs of other people. Do you realize that people are not going to be saved if we don't take the gospel, the bread of life, to them? Jesus has the power and ability to save anyone. But he says, give ye to them to eat. Give ye them to eat. And we say, well, Lord, how can I save people? Just bring what you have to me. Then give them to eat. Just go give them the gospel. Faith and surrender, that's where it's all at. You know, I share a quote from J. Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary to China, and he helped open China for the gospel. And time and again, he saw God do amazing things in the face of hopeless circumstances. And reflecting on his experiences, this is what he said. There are three stages in any work attempted for God. Impossible, difficult, done. He said those are the three stages. Starts out impossible, difficult, done. Anything we ever accomplish for God, listen, it's impossible. It's impossible. Would you stop and just let that sink in? Anything we attempt to do for God today, it's impossible. It's difficult. But you know, as we surrender and give what we have to God and we obey Him, guess what? It'll be done. It'll be done. Jesus not only meets needs through us, He meets needs in us. You know, in John's Gospel, this miracle was used to teach later the crowds that He was the bread of life. John 6:35, He said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. That was what He taught after this miracle. He taught these people a lesson that, listen, I'm not only here to give you bread. I am the bread. Come down from heaven. I'm not only here to satisfy you or to give you satisfaction. I am the one who is your satisfier. You know, He's the satisfier, the Savior of souls. And I believe this miracle is a sign of the sufficiency of Christ to meet our deepest spiritual need. You know, the human race is a multitude of perishing sinners. They're famished out there in this wilderness of the world, helpless, hopeless. And we have the bread of life. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ to give them. Jesus is the satisfier. He is the Savior of the world. And He said, I am the bread of life. If any man will come to me, he'll never hunger. If any man will believe on me, he'll never thirst. Well, that's good. You know, it's a good time to ask, have you come to Jesus? Have you come to Him in faith, believing, and walked away filled, satisfied? Boy, I tell you, I'm glad that I have. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. You know, the Bible tells us that. Come taste and see the Lord is good. Have you tasted of Him? Have you taken of Him? Have you received of Him? as your Savior. You know, I want to give you the last point. They witness Jesus' reward. They witness Jesus' reward. You know, can you imagine the blessing of being involved in this miracle? Can you imagine what the disciples, what must be going through their mind? They're going and giving this food, wondering how this is going to work. And they distribute and they go back to Jesus, and there's always a sufficient supply. They were able to be a part of this miracle. They passed out loaf after loaf and fish after fish to thousands of people until they were all full, satisfied. But I want you to see something else. Verse 20. They all did eat and were filled. They took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. Why do you think the Bible says 12? Well, there were 12 apostles that were out distributing. Listen, the Lord made sure to take care of the needs of His disciples. He rewarded their faith. All they had was a little boy's lunch, not enough for all of them to eat. But when they obeyed the Lord, they got to receive the reward, the blessing of being a servant. God ministered to their need. Can you imagine what was going through their mind? They're like, man, I got a whole basket full of fish and bread. You know, we have to realize they were hungry too. Just like this multitude. They had been serving all day. They were tired and weary. And now they are serving all these people. Can you imagine? Their stomach is growling and they're hungry and they're weak. And they're taking the bread and fish to all these thousands of people. But the Lord never forgets the labor of love of His servants. He never forgets to reward. He makes sure to bless them for their service. I want to conclude with this. When we serve others with the power and compassion of Jesus, we will be rewarded in the process. When we serve others with the power and compassion of Jesus, we will be rewarded in the process. You know, as we serve others, Jesus will always show Himself to be enough for us. He'll always meet our needs. So, Christian, give what you have to Jesus. Give what you have to Jesus. Obey what He commands you to do. Trust Him to meet the needs of others through you. The blessed result will be He will reward you with basketfuls of blessings. Sinner, you're here, you're lost. Are you weary? Are you hungry? I'm not talking about hungry for lunch. I'm talking about spiritually. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Would you come to Christ? The bread of life, He said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Would you come and be filled, satisfied today with Christ? Listen, I don't know what your need is. Whether it's salvation or you've got other needs in your life, Jesus is the satisfier. He is the Savior. He's the one to whom we need to come. He's the one that said, I've empowered you to meet the needs of others. Let's stand as we go to our Lord in prayer. Our Father, Lord, we're so thankful for such a well-known story of the Gospels that has such a powerful truth for each and every one of us here today. There's something here for all of us, whether we're lost, whether we're saved, no matter where we are in our Christian life, there's something here for us. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that when we come that to Your Word that we can be fed, we can be satisfied, we can get something to help us. And we're thankful that Jesus, He is the bread of life. He's the one that satisfied our hunger. He's the one that satisfied our need for salvation. Father, thank You for sending Your Son, for being the bread of life. And Lord, now He has given us the responsibility, the command to go teach all nations. Lord, You've called us to feed the multitudes, the bread of life. Lord, may we learn something from this story, from these disciples. May we learn to bring what meager things that we have to Jesus. Just to surrender and say, Lord, I may not have much to offer, but what I do have is Yours. Use it however You would please. Father, I know that when we do that, You'll bless us. You'll multiply what we give to You. Lord, we will be able to witness Your supernatural power multiply what we have in our life to reach others with the gospel. Lord, it's amazing to be a part of this. Lord, the disciples were able to be a part, even though they were unbelieving, even though they didn't have the faith, they did what the Lord told them, and they witnessed a great miracle. God, may You help us as Christians do the same today. And Lord, I pray for those here that do not know Jesus as Savior. Lord, may they come and receive the bread of life. May they come and put their faith and trust in Jesus. He's the only one that can satisfy their need of salvation. Lord, we're trusting that You'll bless Your word now, that You'd accomplish that which You please. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.